appreciation goes out first to the Democratic voters.
I think the Arizona law has the potential of being applied in a discriminatory.
As a psychologist, I'm not surprised because we have lots of research that shows
how. Now, on a few occasions, I have misspoken.
The surge is not working.
Mike, I felt this thrill going up my leg.
World famous Phil Henry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Every night here, truth is our bitch as we take you through that looking glass. Now, we have been talking with Bobby and Steve Dooley of the Western Estates Homeowners Association about the controversy surrounding a dance competition. And the reason why it's a controversy is this dance competition involves 8, 9, 10-year-old girls, little children who are dancing for, judges and the audience in a very sexually provocative, or some call sexually provocative manner, highly sexually charged manner. They're 8 and 9 years of age. I will tell you, having looked at the video, it's everything that people say it is. It's really weird to see these children. It's kind of sad to see little kids doing it because they don't really know what they're doing, I don't think. They're just mimicking what they see big-time dancers do, and they want to do what they do, which is basically shaking their little butts all over the place. Then we have the parents who don't get why everybody's upset, including this one father who said, and I'm not quoting directly, but the essence was this. Oh, you know, we didn't choreograph that move. That's just the energy of the kids, meaning it's not my fault that the little girls at the age of 8 instinctively shake their asses all over the place. That's what the father said. And then we had a mother on this thing saying, I don't get it. Why would anybody say such a thing about little girls? Because that's what they're doing. Nonetheless, Ms. Dooley, back on the line with us, and I know you don't agree with me, Ms. Dooley, in our conversation, and we have some phone calls we want to get to. In our conversation, though, I didn't even think you really understood what I was saying.
No, I understood you, Mr. Henry.
Well, I'm not trying to be condescending or insulting, but when I said what I said, it sounded like you kept on saying, oh, our girls dance better.
Well, I'll go back to the point. You and others like you keep bringing up the sexualization of these dances, so-called. There's an old saying, and maybe you've heard it, and it goes something like this. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And if you flip that around, if you turn that around, it's sex and dirt are in the eye of the beholder.
Ms. Dooley.
No, I really think
we're looking at the little girls. You even called it junk in the trunk.
Those are dance moves.
Those are the dance moves, Terry. I know you don't want me on there.
See, I can't understand him when he's talking in the background. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. I want to go to a phone call, and I'd like you to explain a little more, Ms. Dooley, what you mean about how suddenly it's all in our imagination. Here is Keisha in Rockford, Illinois tonight. Keisha, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am, you're on the air.
I just wanted to say that I do think the dancing mm-hmm. is very inappropriate for such a young girl.
Mm-hmm.
And they can mm-hmm. have more clothes and did less of mm-hmm. the junk in the trunk and all of that. That's teaching them to be
a little sexual
too early. We have enough promiscuous girls. We have enough girls who are getting pregnant early. It's just teaching them to be sexual, I think.
Well, I don't think you can get pregnant when you're 8.
I mean, you're starting them out early. You're wearing those skimpy clothes. Why couldn't they have more clothes on? Be more covered up.
Well, I don't know why you are noticing the new.
Because they're little girls. You don't want to. Why are mm-hmm. they? Why don't they have on mm-hmm. any clothes? That's like underwear and a little tank top.
Mm-hmm. Well, can I ask this?
Little girls.
Forgive
gyrating,
me for asking. I just simply want to ask this question, and I don't mean anything personal by it. But are you straight? Are you a lesbian?
No.
What has that got to do with it?
Little girls wearing skimpy clothes, gyrating around. The people on the music videos are in their 20s and 30s gyrating around. Apparently, you know that's for sexual. That's why they dress like that, so the men will watch the videos. Now you have your little young daughters doing it. What is that teaching them?
Well, does it make you...
I hate when I see little girls in outside dancing like that. I don't like it. It's inappropriate. They're little girls.
What I'm saying is, does it make you shift uncomfortably in your seat?
What does that mean? Does it make her shift uncomfortably in her
I
seat?
I think you want to justify it because maybe...
What? Oh, like, I see. Do you think I'm... Oh, I get it. You think
what,
I'm...
What do you get?
I eat a box... You think I eat a box lunch? Well, I can assure you. I'm a mother.
I don't understand what that box lunch...
Yeah.
You know, she's... No, you know what I mean.
Look, I don't want anybody calling anybody anything that they're not, and that's got nothing to do with this, Miss Dooley.
They're not dressed appropriately. They could have on more clothes and do different dances and still be just as artistic. Junk in the Trunk refers to a big butt. Why would you want a little girl to do a dance that's talking about a big butt?
I don't want her to. Phil asked me to describe the video.
But you did say that you have the girls in your competition.
Talking about a big butt for a little girl is inappropriate.
Well, we're also talking about Tail Gunner.
Tail Gunner, which is the girl shaking her...
I thought that was ridiculous.
Bending
over, shaking your butt, and everybody pointing to it, and you're 8 and 9. I think that's ridiculous. I wouldn't dare have my daughter do any of those dance moves.
Can I read something to the lady, Phil? I think it's significant.
Go ahead.
This is an urban dance competition called World of Dance. Now, Keisha, I'm going to make an assumption based upon your name, that you're urban.
Okay.
Are you urban?
Okay.
What does that mean? Is she urban?
Is she urban?
You can make that assumption based upon my name, but the name Keisha.
Are you urban American?
Yes. Are you an urban American?
What does
urban?
That mean, urban African-American?
Yeah.
I think
okay,
that's what
so what's
you
your
mean.
Point?
There are Caucasians named Keisha. I know a few.
Well, I don't know exactly whether they come from money, but here.
Well, I don't know what the point
what
is of
that,
all right?
What does that have to do with anything?
I think, well, a lot of whites that call themselves Keisha, most of those girls are walking down the street in the summer in bare feet. But this is a urban competition.
I'm going to let Keisha go.
Why would you let her go right when I'm going to make my big point, you're going to let her go?
Yeah, I'm going to let her go because we have... Thank you very much, Keisha, for
your
call. 877-876-PHIL. What's your big point?
Boy, I had a point I was going to make about urban, and you let
her go. She was hurt. You let an urban go.
Why'd you let the urban go?
What do you mean, let the urban go? Are you talking about the fact that this is a dance competition primarily comprising dancers who are, I don't know, African-American or basing their dance routine on African-American dance? Is that it?
Well, you put it as if we're watching some cultural festival. I don't know why they're putting down a dance festival that is designed to empower...
Well, let's call, if it's black people you're talking about, let's call them black people.
All right, well, it is designed, and if you wouldn't mind, Steve, you had a very good...
Yeah, designed to help urban Americans get away from urban.
Steve's point is this. The dance competition that is urban is designed to help the black urban American get away from being urban.
All right, so in other words, this is a dance competition that you say has its roots in the African-American culture, and therefore it's sexualized because it helps the black person get out of the city?
Get out of the city, yeah. Or not get out, not...
We're not talking about, like, getting out of the city for the weekend.
No, I know what you mean. Moving out of the city? This is a rather arcane conversation we're having here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I still want you to tell me why it is you find it appropriate that these little girls do dances, just as that woman asked, Junk in the Trunk, Tail Gunner, full spread, three-quarter spread, and one that's called the 180. Can you tell me what that is?
I can do it.
Go ahead, but we can't. You have to say it loudly.
The 180, it's a combination of Tail Gunner and Junk.
It's a combination of the Tail Gunner, Junk in the Trunk. That's why they call it the 180, because you're swinging wildly from one move to the other. They're pointing at it, and then the little girl walks about. She walks around the stage with, her butt sticking out, as if she's got a bad lower. I've heard people say it looks like she's got a bad lower back.
What is that?
That's Junk in the Trunk.
She walks around the stage as if she looks like she has a bad lower back.
Yeah, she's walking like if you've ever had a bad back, you walk with your butt out.
All right, well, and this is what you call this cute, where other people consider it to be highly sexual and inappropriate for 8 and 9 and 10-year-old girls. Bobby Dooley with us, and she has a dance competition you call the Gingerbread Girl. They're 6 and 7, and they're doing these moves. And Ms. Dooley is saying that these moves are artistic, have nothing to do with sex. You see these moves in athletics, you see them in gymnastics, and either way, it's based upon an urban dance competition, and so this is empowering to black people. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We will be back with Bobby and Steve Dooley and more on this, I find it a very disturbing conversation. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And before we get much further into the show, let me tell you that our website is philhenryshow.com. Every night we have live streaming video and audio of the show. Right now you can watch the show as we perform it at philhenryshow.com. You can also download the show, the audio of the show, the next day. You have hours and hours and hours and hours of archive material, as well as all kinds of short-form features and long-form features and so forth there at philhenryshow.com, so check it out. All right, Ms. Dooley and Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley with us as we talk about this dance competition that had 8- and 9-year-old girls dressed in very, quote-unquote, sexy red and black lingerie outfits, writhing and gyrating. You yourself, Ms. Dooley, called some of the dance moves a full squat, the 180, the tail gunner, the junk in the trunk, the full spread, and the three-quarter spread.
You never see black people.
Well, hold on for a minute. You also said that this was a quote unquote urban inspired dance routine. So are you saying now that black parents find it fine? I didn't see any black people in this tape. I saw two white parents. I saw some white man talking about it. I saw some, the little girls themselves are white.
Well, it is inspired, Phil, by urban. By urban America. And you don't see African-Americans complaining about it. You find it inappropriate.
Maybe they'd complain about it if they had some of their children in this thing. I saw some white kids in this thing.
Well, Phil, you know, we have, as I said, a perception problem here. We have a perception problem based upon the following. I don't see anything wrong with it, but you do. And I find that more suspicious. I think you are injecting sex into this, and I don't want to attribute it to anything. Some people may think, because it gives you a thrill.
I beg your pardon?
No, I said that I am not attributing...
You're not going to put anything about being perverted on me, okay? The fact is that I find this to be disturbing.
Phil, we had last summer, Hank Hankin and Steve knows him.
Who is this?
His name is Hank Hankin.
Hank Hankin worked around here just guarding him out slipped that down.
And Hank Hankin came by one day when we were doing the burlesque portion of last year's show, where we had the girls.
These are 6-year-old girls.
They're 6 and 7. Phil, don't say it as if those are 6-year-old girls. They're 6 and 7, yes.
And they're doing burlesque?
They were doing a fun routine with a large ball. It was a large translucent ball based upon one of the old burlesque shows.
And so there's a 6-year-old girl with a large ball. Is she nude behind it?
You see, your question, I thought...
Boy, wouldn't you like to know?
Yeah, wouldn't you like to know?
No, I wouldn't like to know. Was she nude behind it?
Let me finish my story, if you don't mind.
Because the act you're talking about...
But if you don't mind, Phil. So, Hank Hankin came by and saw this and made a commotion about it. He thought it was sexual. He was upset. And I said to him, Mr. Hankin, I find it very suspect that you are yourself sexualizing this. And he said, what do you mean? I said, you're the first person this morning that has come by here and talked about the fact that there's a six-year-old girl naked. Excuse me, six-year-old girls get naked. They're bathed by their mothers. It is a normal state for a child to be in.
Is
to be naked. And he said it was inappropriate. Well, guess what? I contacted the L.A. County Sheriff, and we had Mr. Hankton looked into. And the police came down and talked to him.
So you had this man, you had the cops talk to this man because he complained about a burlesque show that you were going to mount last year, having to do with a little girl and a ball.
I mean, you used the word mount.
Well, that's a very good point, Steve. See, you can't help it. You just used the word mount.
And mount, as a show business term.
Well, you're telling me what show business terms are? You said that somebody was mounting something.
Yeah.
No, I said that you're going to mount, you're going to put on a show, a burlesque show, with a little girl holding a big ball, and she's nude behind it, and some guy found that inappropriate, and you called the cops on him? See, this is why I say that what you've done is you've turned the people who have a legitimate concern about this into the perverts. And I recognize the technique, and I find it inappropriate myself.
Well, Phil, I am not running around like so many people over the last week saying that we have to shut down every beauty pageant that any child is involved in because men like Hank Hankton or Jim Rothko or Hal Jeffcoat or some of these men who get, it gives them a cheap thrill.
Wait a minute. All those men you're talking about are guys that contacted the police because they found your burlesque show with six-year-old children to be inappropriate. And all of those men wound up being in some form of questioning by the police. Is that right?
Ron Jeffcoat, yeah, and Hank Hankton. I don't know about the others.
And what did the cops ask them?
Well, I don't know, but I told the police officer that was here that they should ask these men, do you get it? You know, does it give you a thrill?
And does what get? All right, Ms. Dooley, you know, I know where you're going with this.
No, you don't, Phil. And
well, yeah, I do. You're going to have your little show this summer, and good luck with that. But I don't think that you're going to be making too many friends having a burlesque show with little tiny kids running around out there with balls and everything else. But best of luck.
What are you blowing me off?
No, what's that going to do? How's that going to put wind in your sails?
I'm not blowing her off. I'm done with the interview, sir, okay? Thank you and good luck. 877-876-PHIL. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. We got a couple of Congress people in trouble. One of them, I don't know what his story is. He says he was in Vietnam. Maybe he was. Maybe, I guess he wasn't. He wasn't in Vietnam in the sense that he was a combat veteran. and allegedly he made it sound like he was. And another guy who had an affair with a female aide, and that's as to be expected. I guess that's going to be popping up a lot, if you'll pardon the expression, pop up. That's going to be popping up a lot more often, I have a feeling. American politics is getting, it ain't just European anymore. It's like Brazilian or something. You know, down in Brazil. In fact, I don't know if it's Brazil.
Well, it's like or what is it called? Uruguay. Yeah.
Uruguay?
Yeah, they have guys that are, they're getting it climbed.
All right, well, never mind about it getting it climbed. There's a lot of countries where the politicians, especially in South America, the politicians have five or six mistresses and no one cares. Now, I know that that's not America. I'm not necessarily counseling that we should be, like, you know, all cool with that. But we're coming to a point here where we're going to have to figure out, you know, what is it that we want exactly in a politician? We want a guy that's squeaky clean. We want a cat. I'm not saying that we have unreasonable expectations. They may be very reasonable, but good luck, you know? Like that one guy that, the bigger problem, ain't because that guy is gay. That one guy that, forget his name. What was that guy's name?
Wabash. Yeah, the Wabash.
Wabash? Who?
The guy from Bakersfield.
What do you mean Wabash? It was not Larry Craig. No, the guy from Bakersfield that Robert was just talking about. Ashland. That's it. Ashland. What do you mean Wabash?
The Wabash Cannonball.
Okay, the Wabash Cannonball. What's that got to do with a guy by the name of Ashland?
He's thinking about the song.
I know he's thinking about the song.
You're talking about him being gay, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the Wabash Cannonball.
What does that mean, man? The Wabash Cannonball. So that guy, it ain't that he's gay. It's that he was standing against gay rights in his votes. That's called hypocrisy. I think that's worse, personally, than having an affair. I don't know, man. See, if you have an affair with a female staffer, who are you hurting? You're hurting your wife. You're not really, there's nothing materially wrong. There's nothing that you're doing that's hurting your constituents. I mean, they may say they're hurt, but people will lie. They'll come up with all kinds of stuff to make it seem like you're a real scumbag so they can make a political point. But the fact is, they're not being hurt by it. They may say, oh, look at this scumbag. He had an affair, his poor wife. I mean, I hate him. However, if you're a guy that is voting against gay rights, you're actively now inhibiting or you're blocking something that your constituents may want, and at the same time you are, in fact, gay. Now, that to me, that's a big problem. His name's Roy Ashburn.
Yeah, see, that's closer to Wabash.
No, it ain't close to Wabash. Knock it off, will you? Ashburn, Roy Ashburn.
Well, you said Ashland, or Ashland. Ashland is the name of that bar.
Will you shut up, Ashland? His name is Ashburn. And no, I did not say that, bud. Look at, he's writing it down.
What do you want to say?
He wrote down Ashburn. I didn't say that. I said Ashburn. And this guy Ashburn is a gay guy, and he's voting against gay people. See, that's messed up. And his excuse, hey, Ashburn or Ashburn or whatever they're calling you this week, Wabash, dude. It don't play. Who do you think you're talking to?
Well, I just do what my constituents say.
This stuff about doing what your constituents say, that is, to my way of thinking, that's the next best thing to having an answer for a question, you know.
Well, I'm just doing the constituents.
Do you, like, lead by example? I mean, do you vote your conscience? Is there something that you believe that maybe the mass of the voters don't, but you really think it's good for the county or for the state or for the city or for the country or whatever it is, or your kingdom? Do you ever go according to conscience, or is it just you checking the polls and all that stuff, see? Now, here is a story. Jefferson County geometry teacher uses wrong example to teach angles, assassination of President Barack Obama. A Jefferson County teacher picked the wrong example when he used assassinating President Barack Obama as a way to teach angles to his geometry students. He's been placed on leave. The teacher has not been identified by the school district. This is in Jefferson County, Alabama. Was apparently teaching his geometry students about parallel lines and angles. He used the example of where to stand and aim if shooting Obama. He was talking about angles and said, if you're in this building, you would need to take this angle to shoot the president, said Joseph Brown, a senior in a geometry class. And some people probably think, oh, that's innocent. Man, this stuff's getting out of hand. I'm telling you, it just gets worse and worse. I mean, it was like this with Bush, but I didn't even think it was like this bad with Bush. I mean, I talked to people who openly wanted to see Bush die. I mean, I had people come on my show as callers and say they wanted to have Bush assassinated, right? And then we had the Secret Service. We sicked the Secret Service on a couple of them, and so all that stuff stopped. But now we got, like, school teachers talking about it. One final statement about this. It's against the law to threaten the life of the president. You know that? So if you even come close to it, they're going to want to talk to your dumbass. Teach.
This guy's a teacher?
Yes. Some kind of a geometry teacher. Some kind of a... Some four-eye. Anyway, someone alerted authorities, and the corner high school math teacher was questioned by the Secret Service but was not taken into custody or charged with any crime. No, it's not a crime if it's not a legitimate threat. But when you start talking that way, the Secret Service has got to take it serious, see? They have to say, all right, well, now, is this guy a nutcase? Is he a potential threat? What's he talking about? Why is he talking that way? If we ignore the guy and Obama turns up dead, you know, are we going to necessarily be invited to the Secret Service picnic next year? I don't think so. So you can't make any, you can make jokes, but if the Secret Service feels that they are serious enough or credible enough as actual threats, they'll come down, they'll talk to you, and if need be, arrest you and have you prosecuted for a felony, a federal crime. Get it? So it's not even worth it. Most of us understand that you don't joke about carrying bombs or rifles onto airplanes. We get that. But we have yet to, or I don't think we've, I think it's been drilled into our heads, this whole thing about threatening the president. We did not find a credible threat, said Roy Sexton, special agent. It actually says S-E-X, then space.
Yeah, Sexton. Yeah, sex by the ton.
Well, it's Sexton, and special agent in charge of Birmingham's Secret Service office. As far as the Secret Service is concerned, we looked into it, we talked to the gentleman, we have closed our investigation. Sexton said he generally doesn't discuss threat cases, but confirmed his office his office investigated the incident. No federal charges followed the probe. Carolyn Polk, the parent of a ninth grader at the school, said she doesn't believe the teacher ought to be fired. We all make mistakes, and we should be able to learn from our mistakes, she said. When he said he was just wrong and inappropriate, everyone's got their own opinion, but we have to be aware of our surroundings. However, if he gives my kid an F, I hope the guy dies. She didn't say that. She said, at this point, it just needs to be handled in a way that it won't be repeated. I'll give an example of what I'm talking about. Like, I was on Facebook one night, and some girl came on there, and she was drunk, and she admitted she was drunk. She said that Sarah Palin should be killed, right? So I ratted her out to Facebook. I did. I'm happy to do that. I'm glad to do it. I love it. And anytime I ever see anything like that, I will either call Facebook. I'd not call them. I don't have their number. I know you do, bud, right?
Yeah. Hank Hankton.
Yeah, Hank Hankton's number. And you know, you call the cops. That's what you got to do. But you can't just let that crap fly, man. You got to look into it. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. So we got a couple of stories here. Mark Sauter is whoever he is. He's a guy who resigned after he had this affair with this female staffer. And Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut, he's a Senate hopeful. And I will read the headline, never served in Vietnam despite claims, quote unquote. This military service thing is a little overrated. I'm not saying that the guys who risked their lives for our country or who gave of themselves in service to our country in the military are overrated. I'm saying people, when we discuss war, we discuss military matters, because there's not a high level of intelligence in the political discourse these days, this is a lot of times what you'll hear.
Were you ever in the military? Well, then I don't think you can talk about it.
Which is about as stupid as saying, were you ever in the fire department? Well, then I don't think you can call in a fire alarm, can you? Were you ever a cop? Well, then I don't think you're qualified to talk about murder. That's about how brain dead that is. Oh, sending young men off to war. Nobody wants to send young men off to war. No one normal wants to send young men off to war. However, just because you've never been in the military doesn't mean you don't recognize a threat to the country's security. You don't recognize the need for a military. You don't recognize the need for military action from time to time. And the weak sauce argument that, well, you're not in the military, so you can't say, which was used throughout the early stages of the Iraq War, it's just that it's not playing anymore. Now, having said all of that, here's a guy, this Blumenthal, he's a Democrat, and according to critics, this cat never served in Vietnam despite frequent campaign trail references to his days serving, quote, in country during the Vietnam War. Now, if you are a veteran of the Vietnam era or the Vietnam War, you didn't have to serve in country. You could have served out of country. There are two kinds of ribbons. You get an in-country and an out-of-country ribbon. I don't know how they do it with Iraq or Afghanistan. To serve in country means that you were in Vietnam, and it infers combat veteran status. And I suppose to some people, and I may be one of them, there is a distinct difference between being a combat veteran and being a veteran out of country. I'm not denigrating those who served out of country. I'm just saying I think it most likely enhances someone in the eyes of a voter. Now, this guy Blumenthal, the Connecticut Attorney General and the presumed favorite to replace retiring Senator Chris Dodd, never served in Vietnam despite frequent campaign trail references. The revelation comes from an expose in the New York Times, which details Blumenthal's 1970 enlistment in the Marine Reserve after receiving five previous deferments to attend Harvard College, attend graduate school in England, work for the Nixon administration, and briefly work for the Washington Post. According to the Times, Blumenthal's Washington-based Marine unit performed local projects during the war, such as a Toys for Tots drive. But Blumenthal, a Democrat who worked for Nixon? But Blumenthal, a Democrat, has spoken about his time in Vietnam during multiple campaign references around the state of Connecticut, including to a veterans group in Norwalk, Connecticut in 2008, when he said, quote, "We've learned something important since the days that I served in Vietnam," end quote. He should have said served as a Vietnam veteran, and it would have been far more accurate because, in fact, it would have been accurate because, like I said, there's in-country and out-of-country. Now, he also, quote, once lamented the treatment Vietnam veterans received when they returned from service. I remember the taunts, the insults, sometimes even the physical abuse, he told a Bridgeport rally that same year. Well, that's understandable. That's believable. If you're walking around in a Marine uniform, back then you would take a lot of crap because all these hippies and these anti-war people, of which maybe I was one of them, maybe I wasn't.
Yeah, I noticed. You won't even say.
Spit it out, man.
Yeah, man, sound like a retard. Yeah, but did you yell at him?
I never yelled at a soldier, no. Never. Now, and by the way, bud, you know,
yeah, no, man, it's not like, you know, you got Tourette syndrome or something.
No, I don't.
Well, you're going, yeah, Learn how to say what you're saying, man. He also lamented the treatment of Vietnam veterans. All right, I believe that. I believe that if you're walking around in a Marine Corps uniform, people back then would say something like baby killer. At a rally in 2003 where family members gathered to express support for American troops overseas, Blumenthal said, quote, "When we returned, we saw nothing like this. Let us do better by this generation of men and women when we return." What I think he's doing is he's milking his Vietnam-era service for all it's worth. You know what I mean? He's not necessarily lying, although he did say when I served in Vietnam. Now, Blumenthal told the Associated Press the Times story was an outrageous distortion. He said he misspoke on a couple of occasions and clearly stated in a televised debate in March that he'd not served in Vietnam. Meanwhile, his Republican opponent Linda McMahon took the unusual step of taking credit for the story. A blog post on the campaign's website says the campaign fed the story to the Times, and the author confirmed to the Daily Caller that McMahon's campaign is indeed taking credit for the story. Blumenthal called her a cheap wailing slut and said, no, he didn't.
Yeah, that's some dirty dozen, man.
I know, I just had to quote Maggot once. Anyway, Brian Walsh, a spokesman for the National Republican Senate Committee, said Blumenthal owed Connecticut voters an explanation. If you can't trust him to tell the truth about whether or not he served in Vietnam, you have to wonder about, yeah, okay. If you can't trust the guy to be faithful to his wife, then how do you know he'll keep his word to the American people? Hey, there are guys that are married and are faithful to their wives, and they don't keep their word to the American people. So I could turn around and say, if the guy's faithful to his wife and has never screwed around on her, how can we be sure he's going to tell us the truth? All right, you want to prevent a divorce? Try doing some housework. We'll tell you more about that coming up on the Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry. Famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, you know, having just said to my crew, why are we still talking about politicians who are banging their female aides or they are trying to pick guys up in a bathroom? Why are we even, what's the point? You know, and the reason why I asked the question is, all right, so I know they're doing all of this. There was a time when they did it, and the press protected them. They didn't talk about it, that being perhaps a period of time prior to the 1960s, let's call it. You know, in the 1960s, the press began to get a little more interested in the personal lives of politicians because they didn't feel beholden to the political establishment as they did because they realized in some instances they were being used, lied to. That's what governments do. I mean, the government has a sale to make. They have a point of view to present to the people, so they're going to bullcrap the press if they have to. And the press, like, they didn't get it, you know.
Well, you guys lied to us?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to. So along comes a new attitude. Now, I know, because of all the stories, I know that Congress people are having sex with women other than their wives. I haven't heard of any Congress women having sex with men other than their husbands. I would appreciate that because it would be a nice change of pace, you know.
Yeah, what do you mean? Like Pelosi's doing it with a guy that is not her husband or something? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean, man.
What do you think, man? Well, I'm just being clear. What is her name? Boxer.
But what's your point, man?
What are you saying? You want to see Boxer to have a guy do it and everything?
Yeah, I guess it does.
Yeah, that's right. I want to see Boxer have a guy and do it with him. All the point is, I mean, you know, I know. I get it. Now, what will happen? Well, we have this wave of indignation. I'm going to tell you something right now. Coming in November, you can mark my words. They're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's going to be a whole lot of very good people thrown out of their jobs in the United States Congress because of the panicky attitude of the American people. And here's one other point. I made this during the Uncensored podcast, or the Uncensored videocast this evening. We don't have political attitudes in this country anymore. We have fads. We have trends. We treat politics as if it's a new pair of shoes from Paris. We treat our political points of view as if it's a new bathing suit from Miami. It's a faddish thing that has nothing to do with conviction. The reason why we have so many people that are conservatives is not because we have conservative thinking people. It happens to be the thing to do. It's the trend. How do I know? When you sit down and you talk with people, some people who are allegedly conservative, you find out they don't know their ass from a hole in the ground about what it is they're talking about. They don't even know what the hell a conservative is. Take a look at the Tea Party people, which is not, you know, I'm not knocking them, but even they, when interviewed by people, will come up with, well, I didn't know they were going to, I mean, I like Social Security. That's a, you see, well, I thought you were against government entitlement and big, you know, what do you talk, well, I didn't, you know, see, I don't necessarily want to. So you don't necessarily, you're not necessarily a big tax cutting person, is that it? Well, not if it means that this thing's going away, no. Right? So it's a fad. It's a fad. It is not a belief system. So here's a guy, this guy, Souter. He's resigning after an affair with a female aide. He resigned from Congress on Tuesday after revelations that he had an affair with a part-time staff member. He's married. He's got three grown children. Blah, 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 blah. He's a well-known Christian conservative. He spoke, well, that's nothing new. These cats that are outspoken Christians, it's almost a sure thing that they're going to be caught in a leather Macintosh someplace. So we'll get a little bit more into this in the next hour. We're going to be talking with Larry Grover about it. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Larry Grover coming up here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.